The U.S. economy added 130,000 new jobs last month, and the Labor Department said today that the unemployment rate remained steady in August at 3.7%. But economists do have a warning. Job growth is slowing down as President Trump's trade war with China drags on.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Chad Pergram, senior Capitol Hill producer for Fox News. Hi, Chad.
Gentlemen.
And Tolu Olorunipa, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, Tolu.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so before the jobs numbers came out, President Trump tweeted more criticism of the chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, for not cutting interest rates as much as Trump wants to stimulate the economy. He wrote, "Where did I find this guy, Jerome?" Because, of course, Trump appointed him. "Oh, well, you can't win them all." That's from the president's tweet. Chad, what is the president's strategy as concerns grow about the economy and a possible recession?
That it's not his fault if there is a slowdown, if there is a recession, those sorts of things. You know, a lot of people think that the 2020 election is going to be about the economy. When it comes to President Trump's support, if things are going very well, this is something that he has propounded for a long time here, then he thinks he's going to be in pretty good shape, you know, and that could add to his base and get some of those swing voters who are benefiting from an economic prosperity. But if not, that's a problem. You know, I spoke with Mike Crapo, who is the chair of the Senate Banking Committee. He's a Republican senator from Idaho. If there's a question of independence in the Fed, this was a couple of weeks ago before the recess, and he said, "I have no qualms there." But some start to wonder that when the president is always criticizing Jerome Powell.
Tolu, how hard is re-election going to be for the president if the economy goes into recession?
Well, you have to remember the president's poll numbers remain underwater. And one of the things that are keeping them even where they are in the low 40s in most polls is the fact that most people give him high marks on the economy. They think the economy is doing relatively well. But if the economy does start to slow down, and if we do start to see those numbers turn, that could be a very major challenge and a hurdle for the president in terms of his reelection, in part because people aren't buying the idea that the Fed is to blame. They believe that the president is the one who is at the helm of the economy. They know that he's taken a lot of major actions when it comes to this trade war with China, increasing the debt, being sort of irrational and moving back and forth when it comes to various policy ideas. Those types of things are things that people link to the slowing economy. And if the economy slows down further, there's a chance that the president will be blamed for that, and that could harm his reelection chances.
Well, and Chad, look what happened this week to the stock market when the president said that the United States and China would now resume trade talks next month. It jumped 350 points. Is this part of his plan to just sort of feed the public headlines like this, these optimistic headlines, to keep optimism up?
Well, and you could also see a scenario when Congress returns to session next week that they start talking about the USMCA, the trade agreement between Mexico and Canada, and they are far behind on trying to get this worked out on Capitol Hill. And people start to, you know, comment on that, or there start to be leaks about, you know, just how badly it's going. And you could see that putting a dent in the stock market. So you're going to be on this roller coaster for a while, probably. That's the volatility. And the president hopes that there's more up days than down days. And, you know, that could be a problem if they're not getting anywhere with the USMCA.
Tolu, according to your reporting today, it was President Trump who drew that line on the weather map this week with a Sharpie to try and bolster a claim that Alabama was in the path of Hurricane Dorian, even though forecasters said that was not the case. Is this important or not?
It's important to the president. This is day number 5 or 6 at this point that the president is continuing to talk about this and try to defend this claim that Alabama was in the crosshairs of the hurricane. He made this claim on Sunday for the first time, even though all of the various forecasts showed that the hurricane had turned northward at that point. And the National Weather Service said that same day that Alabama was in the clear, that it would not see any impacts from the hurricane. The reason it's important is in part because it shows something about the Oval Office, something about how the president operates, that when reality doesn't seem to line itself up with what he's already said, rather than moving on or backing down or, you know, changing course, the president doubles down and he tries to bend reality into his favor. We've seen it with a number of different issues, and this is just the latest example of the president trying to double down on an issue where the facts don't necessarily line up with his point of view, but he takes some of the media criticism personally and wants to prove that he was right all along. And it goes and it turns a potential one-day story into a 5 or 6 day story, as we've seen with this hurricane.
Chad, can you
know, gentlemen, we've had presidents, you know, be accused accused of being the economist in chief or this in chief or that in chief. This is the first time I've ever heard the president being accused of being the cartographer in chief. And with the severity of this storm, a lot of people think that, you know, maybe they're putting too fine a point on this, frankly, and it's distracting from other things.
Well, and also that he's spending so much time tweeting about this rather than, you know, managing the response in the Bahamas and even along the coast of the United States.
Well, it's just like the comments about Jerome Powell. You know, it's not my fault. You know, it was on that track at one point. That's the problem here. And this is something we see consistently from this administration that, you know, they can do no wrong or somebody else screwed up or whatever else. I mean, that's just part and parcel of how they roll.
Tolu, why does the president over and over again seem to have so much trouble getting through a natural disaster without controversy?
Well, part of it is that this is a president that likes to make the headlines about himself, and that's sort of not a natural place for these types of natural disasters. Usually you're supposed to be talking about the victims, expressing remorse and condolences to people who are struggling and really not focusing on, you know, personal grievances. And this is a president that feels much more comfortable talking about his personal grievances, being on the attack against his foil, who he likes to put the media in that position. And natural disasters aren't really made for that kind of behavior and that kind of politicking. So the president hasn't really adjusted to that. And we've seen that with the hurricane in Puerto Rico, the president making that about him and how he felt aggrieved that the Puerto Ricans were not adequately thankful to him and that the media coverage of his trip to Puerto Rico was skewed against him. So the president likes to make a lot of things about him. And when it comes to natural disasters, most presidents in the past have tried to make it about the victims and tried to make it about the hurricane and the disaster response, not about their personal grievances.
Chad, I don't think I'm going out on a limb to say that you know just about everything that's going on Capitol Hill. So I want to ask you this. Congress is coming back in next week. What's going to happen on guns?
Probably very little. The House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer sent out a memo yesterday. And in terms of, you know, when even something would be on the House schedule, there's nothing there yet, probably until later in the month. You know, they were supposed to have what we call here on Capitol Hill a markup where they prepare some other secondary and tertiary gun-related legislation, red flag laws. That got called off because of the hurricane, so they haven't completely put all those on the books yet. Keep in mind that the Democrat strategy here is to put pressure on Mitch McConnell. Mm-hmm. The Senate Majority Leader, they want to use this as a wedge against McConnell. This plays into the Democrats' narrative that it's a legislative graveyard, their term in the Senate. And how this turns for Democrats politically a little bit is that they could use this as a wedge in Senate races next year in somewhat swing states, Arizona, Texas, Colorado. You have big suburban areas there. Those are western states here where guns have been important in those states, but they have these big suburban voting blocks now, and that could play to the Democrats' advantage. So what you will see and what is different after the shootings is the House will probably advance some gun legislation in the near future, sometime in September, maybe October. The Senate, it's anybody's ballgame. Joe Manchin, the Democratic senator from West Virginia, met with the president for a half hour about this yesterday. But it all comes down to the math. You have to get 60 votes in the Senate to get over a filibuster. And Mitch McConnell, you know, he keeps saying, well, I'm not going to touch anything unless the House, Senate, and the president can come to an agreement. That's been McConnell's modus operandi for a long time now. I mean, that schoolhouse rock, you know, he doesn't want just something out there, you know, as a wedge issue. He wants to actually make law if they can come to an agreement, and they're not there yet still.
And totally, you know, I noticed today the calendar is inching closer to September 30th, and there's a funding deadline to keep the government open at the end of the month. Should we expect another shutdown conflict ahead?
Well, it remains to be seen. This is a president that has shown that he's willing to go forward with a government shutdown. We had a very long one, about 5 weeks, actually, earlier this year, where the president was trying to get money for the wall. The Democrats did not want to give him money. If that happens again, the president could definitely move forward and say that he's not going to vote for any bill, or he's not going to sign any bill that does not fund his priorities, including on the border. So I wouldn't be surprised if this does lead to another standoff. There may be a decision to kick the can down the road. We've seen the Democrats and Republicans come together in the past on at least having some sort of short-term push to make sure that, you know, the government did not default on its debt. So they have shown that they can come together on major issues before a deadline. We'll have to wait and see whether they decide to cooperate or whether they decide to dig in and have another government shutdown.
And here's the major problem on that. That budget accord that they worked out earlier in the summer, no money in that bill. It sets spending levels. And what you could see with this fight over reprogramming or redirecting money for the border wall from military construction projects is that Democrats and even some Republicans put in strictures in, you know, any interim spending bill to keep the government open and say, hey, you know, we're not going to go for that. That could be a flashpoint between Congress and the White House. And that's why some people don't think that all this has been put to rest as we approach September 30th, the deadline to fund the government.
That is Chad Pergram, senior Capitol Hill producer for Fox News. We've also been speaking with Tolu Olorunupa, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Lots going on in Washington. Congress back next week. We'll follow it all. Thanks to both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.